Do you think that's one of your secrets to your longevity?
Yes, black coffee.
None of that cream sugar crap?
Black coffee from the beginning. When I was 2 years old.
Really?
I've been drinking black coffee ever since.
So you've been drinking coffee for 104 years?
Yes, I have.
Welcome to the Black River Falls Podcast. My name is Jack Taylor, and on this show, I sit down with local community members who are making a difference here in Jackson County. On this episode, I'm joined by Reynolds Tomter, one of the oldest living people in the whole state of Wisconsin. We sit down and talk about growing up during the Great Depression, his service in World War II, and his secret to living past 100 years old. This is the Black River Falls Podcast.
Okay, Reynolds.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Thanks for coming on to the Black River Falls Podcast.
Thank you, Brooke. Glad to be here.
So, you are the oldest gentleman that I've ever had the privilege to share a beer with.
That's okay. I love that.
And I think it's safe to say that you're the oldest gentleman that I'll ever have a beer with.
Who knows?
For the rest of my life.
Who knows?
Unless I make it to 106, which I hope you share the secrets with me today on how to make it to 106.
Just be lucky.
Well, Reynolds, you were born in 1917.
Yep.
Which makes you one of the oldest people, certainly in the Black River Falls area.
Yep.
But maybe even in the entire state of Wisconsin.
Getting close, I'd have to say so. Maybe,
yep.
You know.
Could you tell me, where were you born and what were your parents like?
Yeah, I was born on a farm near Pigeon Falls, Wisconsin. But on the farm, of course, we had cows, we had milk cows. We had about 18 that we milked by hand.
So that was a lot of work.
No electricity. So we lived like the Amish, you might say. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had food. Believe me, I didn't really drink a lot of clean milk.
Maybe that's the secret. Maybe I need to start drinking more raw milk.
I'll tell you what, I did a lot of it.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Would you say your childhood growing up was a happy one?
Yeah, it was a good life, I thought. We went to English school. We called it English school, not grade school. It was English school because most of us people in our area were Norwegians, come over from Norway. Settled into that area.
So was it your parents or your grandparents that
came? My grandparents come from Norway.
Straight from Norway?
Yeah.
So did they, I suppose they spoke Norwegian?
Oh, sure.
Your parents spoke Norwegian?
Yes.
Do you speak Norwegian?
I spoke practically nothing but Norwegian.
You did?
When I started school.
Wow, okay. And did you take a lot of pride in your Norwegian heritage?
No, I didn't, because, you know, I was embarrassed. I've always had a brogue ever since that time. Never got rid of it.
What does that mean, Norwegian brogue?
You can tell that they're foreigners.
With the way
it's a foreign language.
With the way you're speaking English?
Yes, the way I was speaking.
You had a Norwegian accent?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that was very common.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about as an adult? And as adult and then today, do you take pride in your Norwegian heritage?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. My thoughts were backwards because, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Lots of people have a different language. A lot of foreigners come into our country and they have a different language.
Okay, so you grew up during the Great Depression, is that right?
Right on, did I ever.
How old were you when the Great Depression first hit?
Oh, I'd say 10, 12 years old.
Okay.
And that was tough.
Yeah.
And it's something you can't tell people because you can't explain it.
It's hard to explain.
Nobody had anything. We had no money, no milk to sell, nothing to sell because everything had dried out. All our land was so dry, it was just like a bare table.
Even the land around here was all dry?
All dry.
Really?
I know my dad would go along line fences, if you know where that is, and we'd try and pick up some hay along the line fences.
Because you couldn't feed them from your fields?
No, we didn't have anything. didn't have anything.
I guess what was you and your family's way of getting through that poverty? How did you stay happy? How did you stay?
Well, did a lot of family visiting throughout the valley, do a lot of fishing, but between fishing and visiting, that was an important thing to do because it didn't cost anything.
So in 1939, you got married.
Yep.
To Dorothea Hoff.
Right on.
What can you tell me about her?
She was a girl that was born in Cooperstown, North Dakota, but she lost her mother when she was about three. That was the diphtheria that went through. So he moved to Wisconsin, got a teaching job, and that was close to where I was living, and we got together, and she got to be an elementary school principal in the school she was at for 26 years.
And why Dorothea? Why not any of the other local Pigeon Fall ladies?
She caught my eye.
In doing some research before this interview, I learned that your daughter's baptism was an important day.
Yes, was it ever.
Can you tell me about your daughter's baptism?
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, we had the day of her baptism. When church was over, I had a guy in my driveway with his car. He come running over and he said, "We're at war." I said, "What? We're at war." He said, "We just got bombed." Holy cats, I said, nothing worse could happen. When Pearl Harbor broke out, it was a shocker.
And when you had heard that he said that we're under attack, we've been bombed at Pearl Harbor by the Japanese, how did you feel?
My first thought, I gotta be honest with you, how could that happen? I was stunned by that. And I lost some good friends because there was some of my school friends were stationed at Pearl Harbor.
They were?
Yep.
So on that day, as a young father, just seeing your daughter being baptized for the first time, how did you know that you were going to maybe be called to war and drafted?
Absolutely.
You knew right away?
I could feel it.
I can only imagine myself. I have two young daughters. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine walking out of a church on a Sunday, yeah, realizing that I'm going to be drafted, that, you know, I have to leave my wife, my young family, my career that I'm just getting momentum started.
Yep.
I would not want to go.
And I got a job, you know. I was, yeah, kind of on my way into life.
Yes. You went to war not because you had to, or not because you wanted to, it's because you had to.
And war is awful. It's awful. It's just the worst thing that could happen because it's ugly. Blood and guts. Who likes that? I had the Navy in mind. I really wanted the Navy. So when I had to go to Milwaukee for my physical. And that day, they had a quota of men for the Navy that they needed. Well, they had just finished a quota for that they needed for the Navy.
So you couldn't make it into the Navy because they met their quota.
Yep.
And then you went to check out the Merchant Marines.
Then I went to check out the Merchant Marines.
What is the Merchant Marines?
It's all shipping.
So they're getting supplies.
We were supplies, hauling supplies to Japan, hauling supplies.
Across the ocean?
Yes, to Europe. I mean, five trips across the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. I wasn't a deckhand. I was a baker. I did all the bread baking and cakes and pies and cookies. And we had a crew of about 80 aboard ship.
So these Merchant Marines had big vessels full of supplies, and your job was to feed all the men,
yes,
on board.
Yep. You know, I was crossing the Atlantic every time. And of course, we had nothing but German subs in there, you know.
While you were making food for all these men, the whole ship,
yep,
was worried about German submarines.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Did any of your ships ever get hit?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember when the war was over?
Yes.
When it was announced?
Yep. I was in Marseille, France.
You were in France?
We had just unloaded.
And what was it like reuniting with your family?
Oh, gosh. It's unbelievable. It's what it really was. But it was a welcome thing. It was a highlight of my life.
So on this, the second half of this interview, Reynolds, I would love to hear some advice, I guess, from your perspective, from your life, what's worked and what hasn't worked. Because there's a lot of young men and women like me who would love to learn from your wisdom and experience, because we are young and inexperienced, and I don't really know what I'm doing in my marriage, but I would love to hear some marriage advice from you.
Don't give up.
So you, looking back on your marriage, you're glad that you never gave up?
Yes.
It brings you joy thinking that you made it through the hard times?
Yep. I'm not so sure how I should say this, but there's too many people that give up too soon.
Yeah.
They got to try harder.
Try harder to stay together.
Yep.
I agree. Well, thank you for that advice. Sometimes it's a value that's lost, and we need to be reminded from the people who came before us. What about parenting advice? So young men like me, I have two daughters at home. What wisdom could you give me as a young dad?
So we have to be bold about telling them what's expected of them and what they can expect to get as far as clothing is concerned.
Did you have high standards for your kids?
I did want them to have good choice.
So as a dad who stuck with it, never gave up, held their kids to high standards, are you proud of them today?
Yes, I am.
You are.
And I mean, also I'm proud of my grandchildren.
You are.
They're really family oriented, and we all want to be family oriented.
So that'd be another piece of advice as a dad, to be family oriented.
Oh, that's
not too much career oriented?
No.
Okay.
Yep. Be family.
So Reynolds, how old were you when you started feeling old?
Maybe. I got that to experience yet.
You don't feel old yet?
We haven't talked about this, but every morning I'm downtown. Every morning at 7:30. And it's not easy to do this, to get up in the morning and get with it. But I make myself get up.
So that, you think that's one of your secrets to your longevity?
Yes.
Is waking up early?
Yep.
Is having good friendships, great relationships, great family?
Yep.
Okay. What about any other secrets? Maybe beer, coffee, cigars? What's some other secrets that you have for
black me? Coffee.
None of that cream sugar crap?
Black coffee from the beginning. When I was 2 years old.
Really?
I've been drinking black coffee ever since.
So you've been drinking coffee for 104 years?
Yes, I have.
Well, Reynolds, I want to thank you for having this interview with me, sitting down, having a beer with me. I'm honored.
You better believe it.
I am honored to have a beer with you. Thank you for your service in the Merchant Marines.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Because my generation, I'm raising my family in peace. And it's because of your generation that I'm able to do that. Again, I was honored to share a beer with you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
I've been honored to even be here and be interviewed by you. You're good at it.
Thank you.
Yes, you are.
And I'm looking forward to also living to 106.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
This is the Black River Falls Podcast.